today on Family Talk.
Well, greetings, everyone. This is Dr. James Dobson, and you're tuned in to Family Talk. Today is Friday, January the 3rd, 2020. Man, how the time goes by. Another new year here. I pray that you had a meaningful Christmas season with your loved ones by remembering the birth of our Savior and getting ready for the new year. Today's broadcast is going to focus on a very serious topic that I believe is a major issue facing countless families. It has to do with the debilitating condition of depression. Health experts say it impacts nearly 300 million people around the world every year. Those who wrestle with this disorder or have a loved one who's battling with it certainly understand this is a tough uphill fight. It can affect people of every race and religion or social or economic status. Despite depression's crippling effects, there is still hope for a happy, fulfilled life. In a moment, Dr. Tim Clinton is going to tackle this issue with licensed counselor Dr. Gregory Jantz. Dr. Jantz is a mental health authority who has been on our program several times before. He's the founder of The Center, A Place of Hope. It's in Washington State, and Dr. Jantz is also the best-selling author of nearly 40 books and has appeared on numerous TV and radio programs across America. He and Dr. Clinton will begin their conversation by defining depression and then examining how it can wreck a person's entire life. They'll also explain the ways genetics, nutrition, trauma, and even technology are woven into an individual's outlook on life. There's a lot of content to get to, so listen now to this pertinent interview on this edition of Family Talk.
Dr. Jantz, thank you for stopping by and being a part of Family Talk.
I really enjoy seeing you and doing this.
Greg, as we get started, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control,
yes,
says that depression is such a major health concern in the world that globally, it is only going to be second to heart disease as the issue that we're facing by 2020.
Yes. So we're right there. And it globally was the key word because the World Health Organization says it's right now the number one disability. So they're saying this is a worldwide problem, and we need to talk about what's really going on.
And no doubt, maybe you've gone through a dark season, struggle with some depression.
Right.
Certainly everybody listening knows someone
if it's not
that
you,
they
you
think
know
are
somebody.
Depressed.
Absolutely.
Yeah? And the greater concern too, Greg, is the hopelessness that seems to come with it. I think people are really concerned about suicide.
Yes.
This whole thing, especially with our kids. Greg,
well,
it's terrifying.
Two trends that we are seeing with depression, 12 to 17-year-olds coming in or needing help for depression, reporting they're depressed, reporting they're anxious.
Our kids.
And their kids. And we're also seeing for the first time men 50 and older who are seeking help for depression. It's also the fastest growing age of suicide among men is 50 and above.
Wow. Greg, let's just kind of step back and kind of look into this for a moment. We'll peer into it. What are some of the signs of depression? How does a person get diagnosed as having depression?
Yeah, it's a word that sometimes is used a little loosely, and we
everybody gets the blues.
Yeah,
everybody gets down,
and
depression's a little bit more than just that.
You know, there's different kinds of and different flavors of depression.
Yes, there is.
So there's normal. There's a situational depression. Maybe an event happened, a significant loss, and for a period of time, 2-3 months, you found yourself having symptoms of struggle. And
I was talking to a guy today, Greg. His dad died not long ago, and man, I could see it in his eyes.
Yes.
He's still, I mean, just really
absolutely
down in his spirit about losing his dad.
So working through grief would be an issue related to depression. Mm. So there's situational depressions, life events. All of us will have those. But then there's a kind of depression that doesn't go away. If we look on a scale, this is that deeper depression that after a while, we start to lose a little bit of touch with reality, and we start having thoughts like, well, maybe it'd be better off if I'm not here. And so there's a significant, what I'll call a red zone depression. And this is the person, they're totally isolated. They're not engaged with others. They probably are doing some form of self-medication, alcohol, misuse of prescription drugs, maybe even digital addiction. So they're doing something because this depression is not going away. Usually, sleep is affected. We see a lot.
Could sleep too much or too little?
Too little, either extreme. Mm-hmm. I used to be involved in sleep research, and we would study different sleep stages. And when you're depressed, you have condensed time in certain sleep stages, so you never feel well, you never feel rested. Mm-hmm. So depression is going to affect the whole person.
Sadness would fit in there?
Sadness would fit in there.
Lack of energy, maybe?
Lack of energy and appetite. You may find yourself, either I want to eat all the time or I have no appetite.
Yeah, and as you start looking at some of these signs, mental health professionals begin to take a look and see if a few of these are starting to show up consistently.
Yes.
And like you said, if it's happening, say, for more than 2 weeks.
And we're looking for a pattern over time. Now, some people may cycle into depressive modes. You know, there's other kinds of depression. We hear the term bipolar. You know, there's a common cold depression that we used to call dysthymia. So different flavors of this.
But those types of depression would be periods of low.
Yes.
Coupled with periods of high.
Absolutely.
Right? So you seem to go down and up. And
yes.
Down and up. You're cycling
is
what you're doing.
Absolutely. Yeah?
And a lot of people think when they're on an up, that life's really good, only to crash all over again.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes those are deep crashes.
But other people, Greg, have what you say is more ingrained, long-lasting
yes.
periods of depression where it's heaviness, almost like a wet blanket has come over them.
It's as though I can't brush this off. It won't go away. And that's what we're seeing more of.
Wow. Greg, what are some of the reasons or causes? This is important because people get confused
here,
and they tend to think that people who are depressed,
yes.
they treat it almost like discouragement, that you should be able to snap yourself out of it.
So,
you know that? Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, how long are you going to lay in that bed? What are some of the sources of depression?
Okay.
Biology, your body, your brain chemicals could be out of whack, right?
Absolutely. So we're going to look at depression as though it's a 1,000-piece puzzle. All of us are a little different, and when we're looking, what are the missing pieces to the puzzle? Could be different for different people. You mentioned biology, which would be our body chemistry.
Sure.
Very important to look at that. I also would include in that just appropriate nutrient levels in your body. Have you had a history of addiction and you have nutrient deficiencies that's
sure.
contributing? So,
What about thyroid problems?
Okay,
could thyroid, that contribute to depression?
Yes, and one of the other hidden areas is sleep apnea. People who stop breathing during their sleep, that can be a hidden cause of depression. So there's physical reasons. Okay. One that oftentimes gets overlooked is a person who's had like chemotherapy, you know, maybe they've had a health recovery, but emotionally they have a depression that has not gone away since having that treatment. This is a group that we miss sometimes.
And I require people I see who are depressed to go
yes.
get some type of physical exam.
Always start with the physical.
We've got to know what's going on.
We look at
that body.
Blood work. We want to know.
Are your brain chemicals?
Yes.
Talk about that, Greg, for a little bit.
Well,
sometimes the dopamine levels or the serotonin levels can be out of whack.
Okay, two very important chemicals you just mentioned. God designed us that we manufacture 90% of our dopamine in our gut. Let's say that you've had really unhealthy eating or addiction issues. Maybe you've had a history of taking a lot of antibiotics and your body's not manufacturing dopamine. Your body's
sure.
not manufacturing that serotonin. So there's a physical reason for it.
Got it.
So that's why we've got to look at the whole person. For another person, it could be they've had a secret addiction for years and they've not really dealt with it. And that could be creating depression.
Sure. Other contributing factors, social interactions. If your relationships are going awry, it can really add a burden or a weight to your life.
Well, let's say you're in an emotionally abusive relationship and you've been in that for a long time. You're probably going to be oppressed and depressed.
Sure. Yeah, so, if you're in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you and they're not
yes.
loving you, or worse than that, they're hurting you.
Right.
They're abusing you in some way. It'll make you crazy.
Yes, and sometimes we are dealing with issues where people are over-engaged in the digital world. We need to talk about technology. We know if you're already depressed or have a tendency and you spend all that time online or all that time engaged in Facebook, we know that you will have an increase in depression symptoms, not lessen. Mm. So isn't that interesting? Yeah. Sometimes we may be escaping through social media, but it's ending up causing us to feel worse.
Spiritually, there could be factors at play here.
Absolutely.
Sin in your life, I mean, and you get overwhelmed with shame, guilt as a result of it. Greg, it can be a weight on you.
Tim,
and if
you're
not working to resolve this, it's a burden that you really do carry.
Absolutely. And if you're depressed, you probably already feel like I'm unlovable. And then ultimately you feel like, well, God can't even love me. So that depression begins to tell you lies. And we know that one of the hidden causes of depression, I think in a spiritual way, is lack of forgiveness. We always are going to check areas of forgiveness, hurt, unresolved hurts. So oftentimes we don't
realize. So if you're getting violated, it's a weightedness. Think also about, we mentioned the word grief.
Yes.
If you're going through a lot of loss in your life, it affects you, Greg.
Yeah, it does.
And if you can't work your way through the grief process in a healthy way, it becomes a real, again, heaviness.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is going to sound funny, Tim, but if you're depressed, this is the best time in history to actually have depression because we have so many good options for treating depression now.
Wow.
But so many people don't realize that there are options.
Yeah. Greg, I was working one time with a 40-plus-year-old police officer. He wound up in my counseling office, and we met for the first night, and I began to do a little inventory on him. Then he began to cry.
Mm.
And here's this 40-year-old, strong, stable police officer weeping in front of me.
Sure.
And he said, my dad just died. He said, my dad was my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had died like 30 or 60 days prior to all that.
Mm.
And he said, Tim, I just don't even know what I'm going to do. I don't have anybody to talk to anymore.
Right.
And he was just carrying this weight, and he needed a place just to release that.
Yeah.
But Greg, he was carrying it. So if you can imagine someone walking around carrying this heavy weight all over the back of them.
Absolutely.
What about growing up, Greg, in a painful past? You know that? Where you've been pounded your whole life. You know that? And like life's been tough for you. You've always had to fight your way through everything.
Yeah.
That catches up with you.
It does. If we leave that unattended, it will catch up with us. A lot of times, though, when we're depressed, we're not connecting those dots that my past abuse or my situations, we're not connecting it, that's really one of the key reasons for my depression. And you gave that police officer a safe place to really process those emotions. And we need safe places to do that.
Greg, your clinic, the Center for Hope, has been ranked as one of the top treatment facilities in the country for depression. You obviously are getting some things done right up there.
Well, that's our desire.
Let's have a conversation about what are the top three or four things I need to be thinking about if I have someone that I think is depressed or discouraged or concerned about, or maybe it's my own personal life.
Right.
What is it? What takes us on a journey toward new life?
Well, we've got to, first of all, be willing to take some action. And a lot of times a person who is depressed is finding themselves in a place where they don't see that there's options. And so we need to be a voice of hope. They need to know there are options. Here's where I find people frustrated. If we only use a singular approach, for example, medication, that's all we do, we may not be happy in the long run. So again, we've got to look at more than just a single approach.
You're saying there are multiple factors that we've got to attend to. Biology is certainly one of them.
Look at the physical
side. A lot of people are on medication.
Absolutely.
And a lot of that is rightfully so.
Absolutely.
That they need that kind of attending to because their biology is not right. A great physician needs to step in. Some people are on medications, and by the way, they probably don't need to be on them.
That happens as well.
Yeah, it does. It does. And so good med management, it's critical here.
Absolutely.
You've got to have a doctor. Most medications, Greg, though, are prescribed by family docs, not really
That's usually
psychiatric
where most people
docs.
Start.
They start there with a family doc.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they're trial and error because we've gotten pretty sophisticated. I tell people, listen, with the knowledge they now have about the brain, about your biology, and about these drugs, They yes. should be able to get you on something that doesn't put you in a stupor. You don't need to be afraid of it. They should be able to put you in something, Greg, that does something meaningful for you.
Absolutely. And there's even genetic testing now where we can see if this medication is the right one
That's
for a person.
That's a big deal.
So there's a lot of good breakthroughs in the area of depression that people need to know about.
Yeah, Dr. Frank Minrith, a pioneering Christian psychiatrist. You knew Frank.
Yes.
Frank would say this to me, Tim, medications are really a gift from the Lord. Mm-hmm. Okay? He said not everybody needs to be on them.
Right.
They're God's way of helping treat and deal with certain disorders.
Absolutely.
But he said this, and this is important. He said, Tim, the one thing that medications can't give you is hope.
Right.
They can help get you to a place where you have the opportunity to do some work that you need to do, but they can't give you hope.
Exactly. And that's, again, I can get a medication, I might feel some better, but I still need a plan. I still need a plan of hope. I need a plan for my future, where I go from here. And so that's an important piece. Plus, a medication can't resolve unforgiveness. A medication can't cause you to suddenly heal all those past years of abuse to your body. So it takes some time to rebuild.
You know, Greg, when you get into a funk, when you get into a depressed episode, some pretty bad habits start taking over your life. You don't necessarily exercise. You typically don't eat all that well.
I can tell you from personal experience. I had my episode in 1989. See, I even remember the year. And I had a year of great struggle where I even felt like, and it was depression, that I had probably chosen the wrong career. I remember going, I'm questioning even what I was doing. And I couldn't wait to get home and have my half gallon of ice cream. You know what I'm saying? No, we start to do unhealthy.
People call it comfort food.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a way we, quote, are soothing ourselves.
Yes.
But all it's doing is perpetuating the very problem that we have.
That's what I was doing to myself.
So diet is really important because I know you guys, in your collaborative care, you're going to say, we're going to do a life change. We're not just coming out here and throwing you on some medications. We're going to do a radical change with your life.
So, well, that's why we use a dietitian, and we look and see what is the person's needs, what do we need to do to help them,
so
keeping it healthy.
getting that piece right. What about exercise? I know, make a little statement here, you need to talk to your physician about what you're doing. Exercise, most people say it's a natural antidepressant.
Yes. Now, if you're depressed, you know, going outside for a 20-minute walk, it's like, you need somebody to go take you by the hand and go with you. So we do fitness assessments on everybody that comes through just so we know where they're at in that regard. And I say 20 minutes. It may be a person that goes out a walk around the block of movement first time in a really long time. But we do have to start increasing movement and the physical side. Now, that's really, really important as we go through the treatments, because if I'm exercising, it helps everything else to work.
You're listening to Family Talk, a production of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, your host. In studio today with me, Dr. Greg Jantz. Dr. Jantz is a real leader in the area of mental health and the treatment of depression. He's also a good friend of the ministry of mine, and we always appreciate having him here in studio with us. We're talking today about depression. Hey, if we can be of help to you in any way, that's why our organization exists. We want to pour into your life, into your relationships, into your relationship with God. Would you visit us at our website? It's simple, drjamesdobson.org. drjamesdobson.org, or call us. You can call us toll-free right now, 877-732-6825. That number again, toll-free, 877-732-6825. Dr. Jantz, as we come back to our discussion on depression and breaking free, we talked a little bit about biology and getting some treatment. And most treatments, by the way, are coupled with medication and psychotherapy or counseling to deal with some pretty ingrained stuff.
Yes.
In addition, you guys have a very holistic way, which I think is the right way.
Sure.
And that's, you're looking at every sort of lane in this person's life. You're looking at their diet. You're looking at their exercise regimen. You're looking at the way they think. A lot of people in depression start developing stinking thinking, is what we call it. And it's that mind place can be very free.
Yes.
It can be very beautiful, creative, or it can be very dark and confusing and kind of lost, Greg. And how do you help people break out of those negative patterns? Because usually when you're depressed, it piles up. And then you've got the father of lies. We know him as the father of lies, who's grinding on you, wanting you to think that God isn't there for you, that the world doesn't care about you.
And
that
God doesn't love you, and you're not lovable.
Greg, what do you do? How do you speak into that?
We've talked about addressing some of the physical issues. So we've got to get a person feeling just a little bit better so they can even concentrate. You know, depression can rob your ability to concentrate, to focus.
Oh, sure.
And
Greg, sometimes you ruminate. I mean, your brain, it's just
recycling.
Like it goes on stuck.
Yes.
And you can't get over it. And it's just like playing over and over and over and over again. That rumination stuff is scary.
Oh, it is. And we also got to address the sleep issue. Start to improve some sleep. And it's interesting what happens is we can, if you will, teach a person the truth about themselves. We can do that through scripture, and we have different ways that we even have a person meditating on God's word, but they got to get to a point where they're really able to do that. We also know that if I'm going to deal with the old baggage of maybe unforgiveness, guilt, shame, anger, hurt, that a lot of times then my thinking starts to transform. Because I've had toxic thinking because of things, lies maybe I'm believing from the past.
Yeah. Greg, that battlefield for the mind, it's such a challenge.
And
learning little things like thought stopping. Listen, Tim, you got to stop thinking that
Absolutely.
Way. You know that?
Yeah.
And in thought stopping, what it means too is that you've got to replace that thought.
Yes.
You don't just stop it. You've got to put something in its place. We call that thought insertion.
Yep.
So Paul in Philippians 4:8 said, whatsoever things are just, lovely, of good report, and more, meaningful, healthy things.
Yes.
He said, think on those things.
And we may do something really simple, like put a verse or the truth statement on a 3x5 card, and it's in the pocket, and every time you start to have those stinking thinking, you're going to pull that out and just begin to tell yourself what the truth is. You may not believe it at first, but I want you to reestablish a new pattern of thinking. So that's just one little thing you can do.
I love that, Greg. And then one of the greatest challenges I know, and we're fighting time here, is to get people to start doing things again. Typically when you're depressed, you stop going places. You stop going to church.
Yeah. You're isolated.
Yeah, you stop calling your friends. You stop having simple conversations. You don't go to your kids' games anymore, et cetera. Things that used to give you life. And so in my mind, it's like depression is a theory of disengagement, if you really think about this. And the way to overcome it is you've got to figure out how to re-engage into your life, Greg. And it's hard to do.
It is.
It's best done with someone or some accountability program in play, Greg, because if I'm depressed, it's going to really be hard for me to do that.
Yeah, I may have good intentions, but have a hard time follow through.
Yeah.
So the accountability, you just said it, is an important piece.
Dr. Jantz, would you address the audience if this is striking a chord with someone today?
Yeah.
And they're saying, you know, that's me.
Yes.
I'm battling. I've been crying out to God. I'm hoping things will get better, but I'm like a kid on a bicycle. You remember when you were a kid, you used to ride your bike and close your eyes and see how long you could keep them closed before you opened them? But we're closing our eyes thinking when we open them, everything will be different.
Yes.
And it's not getting different, right?
Here's what I hear so often. I hear people say, I wish I wouldn't have waited so long. So my word today is don't live with any more regret.
You don't need to.
Use today as that turning point. Maybe it's just gathering more information. Maybe it's making a phone call. But use today, and I can tell you there is hope. I know it personally, and I see it in the lives that we work with. You can do this. And hope comes when we have a plan. So let's begin to make a plan today. Take an initiative and follow through today with getting more information.
I want you to hear this. God's not mad at you.
No.
God has not abandoned you. And all is not lost.
Yeah.
As long as you have breath, there's an opportunity to turn it around, Greg.
Yeah.
And you're right, taking that first step, maybe it's a phone call, maybe it's a text message, maybe it's a quick email and just said, you know what, I need some help.
Yeah, I need help. So don't live with regret. Again, most of the often people say, I wish I wouldn't have waited so long.
And the exciting thing to us as mental health professionals is this. We know that when people seek out mental health care, about 80 plus percent of the time, they're getting the kind of help they need.
Yes, I just want to say it is possible.
Change is there.
Yes.
Dr. Jantz, thank you. We're going to have to keep this kind of conversation going on. You know why? Because I believe that's where people are. They're looking for answers. They want relief.
Absolutely.
And they want help, and they want hope. Thanks for bringing that to us.
Good to be with you today.
This is Roger Marsh, and you've been listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Depression is a very serious issue, and it continues to debilitate millions of families everywhere. If you or someone you know is struggling with this disorder, find a mental health professional near you. We also encourage you to learn more about Dr. Greg Jantz and the Center, A Place for Hope, in Washington State. All that information can be found on our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org, and then click onto the broadcast page. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to join us again on Monday as we begin our first full week of programming here in the year of 2020. I hope you'll join us then for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Have a blessed weekend.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.